Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
To Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining the 63rd person to clear the way. Joining me on the show today is CJ Gibson.
What's up? Congratulations.
Thanks, dude. Fran Mirabella.
How's it going, Guardians?
And Sean Finnegan.
Chomp chomp.
And today's topic is a big one. But first, before we get to that, don't forget you can watch every Friday at 5 p.m. on fireteamchat.ign.com. And then one day later on YouTube, we're going to be talking about the raid today, and there's this conversation going around in the community about difficulty level, Engram drops, and that's what we're going to be discussing. So first of all, does anybody think that it is too hard to get into the raid? I don't.
Too hard to get into.
That seems to be the conversation. People feel like they were throttled by prime Engram drops. I think that if you were very careful and meticulous about your drops, you could have been able to compete in the raid day one, because I have a fire team that has four people that have a regular 40-hour work schedule, and they were still able to enter. Two people, myself, I work at IGN, and one other person was able to dedicate a large amount of time. But we didn't farm prime engrams. We finished 63rd.
Nicely done.
I feel pretty good about that. Fran, you were on the other side of the argument. I like that you have to wait, that it might take a week or so to try the raid. Let's hear your take.
Yeah, Destin knows I'm pretty salty about this one. Simple math, and this is where we cannot get on the same page. Even the way that Destin phrased the question, is it hard to get into the raid? No, anybody can load the raid up. Anybody can be 530 and go into the raid. The issue is how many hours per year drops on average across a player base. Where did you land? I landed at 532 after 50 hours of very meticulous grinding. Like, I'm not an idiot. I chase the right stuff. I talk to people, do the Dreaming City, whatever. Like, I just got some bad luck. I got every power Engram almost on the map, shy of Ace of Spades because of the amount of time again. So, like, just as one quick comparison, Destin, you thought you played 60, but I'm still looking for a full audit on the team. How much did each team member play? But you played 60. So all I'm really getting
you,
at
is, I can tell you that Teddy only ran one character,
but just,
and that he worked a full
– Sure.
He worked 30 hours.
But it comes down to hours. Student. So just very quick example. Mm-hmm. You ran 10 more hours than me, 20% more time than I had. But I just want to be clear. I love that the raid is hard. That was kind of written on the sheet, is the raid too hard? And I'm like, that's not my issue. I love that the raid is hard. My issue is how long I played, what I landed on. And I know a lot of people that landed in the 530s. Even some of your team members did, but not all of them. And how many hours did it take to get there? And for me, that's asking too much, and numbers don't lie. Stats don't lie. So again, I want to be clear. The raid is not too hard. The raid is amazing,
correct,
by the way.
A lot of people couldn't do the raid, and I say, who cares?
Right. So I'm going to finish this rant with, I really love how hard the raid is. I love even that there's a barrier to entry. But on week one and going into week two, 10 days that we had, that take off work on a Friday, family obligations that you set aside that we could plan, I ended up at 532 after 50 hours, and that is just way too low for a recommended light level. And last note, fewer than 2,000 people were the recommended light level in the entire world.
And that, I see no problem with that whatsoever. I think the raid should be a coveted experience that you have to work to level up to. If you couldn't get there the first week,
you
have
need more
17
hours in your life.
Chances.
That's who this game is for.
You have 17 hours on your second character, 17 more powerful Engram drops to get raid ready. You only need to be 550. There is no more excuses after week two that you can't be raid ready.
Yeah, there is. I have a wedding this weekend. I can't take off work this week. I legitimately can't put. That's right. Yeah.
Bungie needs to balance the raid so that people who have weddings can get in on day one.
You know I'm super salty, which I think hopefully makes for a good conversation. Yeah. The issue I take is that there's an assumption that people can play the amount of hours you're talking about.
Okay, so I think that's it. The expectation thing is what is always, I think, the issue. And we blame Bungie. People blame Bungie, but it's like, I think Destiny 2 year one, well, people do. I think the issue is Destiny 2 year one was a result of some of what you're saying. And I think the game seemed very approachable, almost too easy and did not, you know, keep people's attention, specifically those people that we watch, like Datto and Gigs and all those, like, and you as well, who grinded 24 hours. Well, not in, you know, per day, but you played the raid almost for how many consecutive hours?
31 hours. It took us 31 hours
to
play the raid.
That is crazy. Yeah. But how many did you play consecutively, though, on one day?
First day, you did like 20,
12,
I think.
12,
right?
Or, took, 12 or more hours.
Yeah, because I did 10 to 12 the first day as well.
You did like six. Like 18, I did 16 the first day.
18 to 20 the first day.
Right. Yeah, I played the raid for 16 hours the first day.
So to sum up your argument, your thing is that you thought that the amount of hours invested to get to the point of the raid, you did not feel that it was communicated what the expectation of light level going in was, and how would you want them to change that?
I mean, maybe when we get to it, we should talk about what I feel was taken away, right? That's what this is about, is what was taken away from me by the hourly requirement. That's all. And certainly that I couldn't predict that. I couldn't look at 10 days of – there are so many power engrams. I was so excited, right?
Right.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, this is great. And like the rate, like I know it's going to be a tough one. I thought I was going to land at 540 something, by the way.
Yeah.
I did. That was what I thought, but nope. And the amount of time it took to get there. So maybe we can talk about what was taken away, but I was just going to say, sorry, what was the question?
No, the question was, A, what do you think we should do? And just to preface it, now.
The communication.
The communication. So Destin has beaten it. I had some personal family issues as well. My grandfather passed away the day after the raid the day before, and I had to fly out. But you have not finished it yet.
We've played at the same part.
Yeah. So, I think we're both at like third encounter. Yeah.
And I haven't even jumped in yet.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm totally blind. I've watched no footage or anything.
Yeah. So.
Wow. That's really – you haven't been forced to watch the raid yet?
Exactly.
Hey, so I'm amazed. Guess what? I control what I click on when I'm on YouTube.
There you go.
Why is that an issue? People are spoiling stuff for themselves.
Well, people think it's over now people think it's over. It's been spoiled because footage exists of it. And I don't know. I don't think
there's a factor of that. But for me, it's the player base. It's going to be very hard to find a team on the third encounter that is still blind.
So that's an important part for you.
Fran, I could tear apart what you did wrong, but I don't want to do that.
I don't care if you do.
You did a call out for the raid team the day of the raid.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get a raid team.
No, that's not true. I already had some people in line, and they were like the power that I had a raid team. It doesn't change anything. I was already playing with two team members.
Yeah.
And actually, no, I had like four out of six. It wasn't like unorganized.
But then you put out a Twitter call to finish off your raid team.
I mean, what does that mean?
What's the difference?
I knew I had to do this for the review. I planned it a month in advance.
But do you see what you're saying? You're saying the player base is so exclusive.
And it should be.
And so that's the point.
That's what makes it a coveted, rewarding experience. This is one of the best changes that they have ever done for Destiny.
Why? Because they throttled you by light that fewer than 2,000 people could achieve it by having enough time in their life.
So you want
I wasn't incapable.
Okay.
If I took off work, I wouldn't be complaining as much. Mm-hmm. I would have done the raid. You see the difference?
Why didn't you take off work?
I did only one day. Sorry. And I only stayed up until 4 a.m. I'm not trying to whine
but we're
about
not
like,
saying you're,
playing games.
We're not saying you did bad.
That's right. The point is
you didn't plan adequately for your raid experience is all I'm saying.
But that's right. It's the amount of hours. That's
but what's,
all I'm
what's the problem with going in week two?
Because
people act like because they weren't able to get to the required amount of light to get into the raid and do it successfully on day one, that it's broken and it's over for them. They have no other opportunity to do it. I don't feel like that. I haven't been in the raid yet. I haven't watched any videos. I've been traveling and doing other productions, which is great because now I feel like I don't have any problem going in at my own pace.
Yeah.
To me, I don't really get why people
you must
have
like the ultimate player base. That's what I run into. You have to go like, to freaking LFG. I can't play with my team members anymore. Click's already finished it. He's one of my team members. Yeah. Okay.
He had to move on. I talked to him last night.
He was 550 because he could play more. He's gone. He's done. I lose that experience with someone I've been raiding with for years.
So
another player we played, he couldn't play.
You want to talk about what was taken away from you? It sounds like where you're going. Yeah. So you can't play with the raid group that you wanted to.
Well, it's part of it. I have team members that I play with. So now what had happened is on the first weekend, right, I had to go out and try to find new team members. And now I got people coming in saying they'll sit on the sideline. That was the best option short of going to LFG and like completely random. And I really don't like that.
Dude, raid.
So I don't want the raid spoiled for me. And that's what I'm in jeopardy of. And then I also like playing the raid, like at least heavily, a big chunk of it at once. I played for 16 hours. I would have preferred that the team that started to get splintered at about 10, which actually, that should be expected. If you're going to raid all day, you should have a team that can do it all day.
I met two of my raid team members on LFG.
Yeah, I'm not saying like LFG is a bad place to find, but I already have a pretty big community. It was very hard.
And you want to play the raid with people that you know, for sure.
Inclusiveness. It really is that simple, Destin. Inclusiveness versus exclusiveness. It was 2,000 exclusive, okay? I'm going to call it the 2,000 Club because that's the number I saw of the people that could across all platforms, by the way. Mm-hmm. There was only one PlayStation raid completion by what? Sunday night or Monday? It's pretty insane.
Yeah, it was bad.
I like
that's
that good, too, though. Yeah, that reminds me of that.
Oh, but it's not because it's World of Warcraft, right?
Reminds me of old school World of Warcraft.
So when, was that because it's hard though, or because of the time required?
Both. I'm saying because I think when you're talking about a game that has RPG mechanics, they're kind of the same thing. Like the time requirement is part of the difficulty. There's the RNG sort of mechanic, and sometimes people are lucky or not, but we know that going in. Like, we know that sometimes you're gonna get screwed on drops, and that's just part of the game.
That's the other issue.
But it's been like that all throughout Destiny.
The main argument that bugs me about the raid in my particular case is you work at IGN, of course you were able to do it. Okay, where's Polygon, GameSpot, and everybody else's raid clears? Yeah. They don't have them because they didn't. Yeah. I don't know what happened for
they
that.
Probably,
also,
I don't know. Maybe they freelance.
For the audience, people who are saying that, just because you work at IGN doesn't mean you just play games all day long.
You have five. It's a team-based activity. You have five other people that you have to consider into that group.
You manage a team of five people who are making content the whole time. You're making content the whole time. You're reviewing the game. It's not just like you get to grind all day long in Destiny.
And I grind it a lot, though.
Yeah. And
no, we know that, but I'm just saying.
Raid day drama is like a real thing. Like trying to make sure you get a bunch of people who are able to do it at the same time. Yeah.
There was the whole chest thing last week where like if you open the chest and there's no raid perks on that stuff anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it didn't end up matching.
Still, we were worried. Yes. I was like, oh God, you open the chest. What'd you do?
So, So I mean, I guess let's read what some of the commenters say because Fran, you put out a poll and here's my poll. We'll start with the one that's accurate. Is not being able to complete the Destiny 2 Last Wish raid on week one an issue Bungie should adjust or alter for the next raid in some manner? Vote and leave a comment if you'd like to clarify your stance. 18% said yes.
An issue and
82% said no, it is not an issue, it is fine. Fran said fewer than 2,000 Destiny of the Game players are the recommended 550 light for the raid, all platforms. That ranks me about 24,000 at 70 plus hours at he's at 536.
That was at the time, yeah.
At recommended light, there's fewer than 334 potential teams. Trackers suggest fewer than 25 is completed so far. Happy with the stats, 50%. Unhappy, 27. Doesn't concern me, 25%. So,
yeah, majority said they were concerned. But you're also speaking to be fair,
your community.
The Destiny, but the Destiny player base that raids is like, 10%?
So on YouTube, going back to the original question, as of Sunday afternoon Pacific time, this is from Fran via Destiny Tracker, fewer than 2,000 Destiny 2 Forsaken players are the recommended 550 light for the Last Wish raid, all platforms. At recommended light,
it was the
that's
same
fewer than 500 potential teams. Happy with the stats, unhappy, happy 75%. So it seems like the community is all good with having to wait a week or two.
Well, it's not
for
all good.
For the most
it's that you don't care about the 25%. That it did affect.
You don't get to say how I feel about the community.
No, so what I'm saying is you said it's all good. I'm saying that you're excluding us as part of a special club.
Okay, 80%,
because you didn't have to experience.
82% and 75% say it's all good.
That's correct.
So here's what's interesting, because I would imagine that Bungie has probably had this conversation about Destiny 2 Year 1 and even leading into Forsaken so many times that they probably leaned into the raid this way for all the reasons that Destiny 1 people had a problem with, or Destiny 2 Year 1 people had a problem with. Like 90% of what seemed very easy and approachable with Destiny 2 Year 1, people did not receive as positive for the game. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a result of that feedback.
Let me make an analogy for y'all here. Would we all say that the generally, as like a rule of Destiny, the more you play, maybe the better you get, like in terms of skill?
Definitely. Being in the raid for 30 hours, so we have let's down it to a science.
Yes, leave it there. The more you play Destiny, generally, the better you get. You learn the mechanics, you learn the weapons, you learn the all of that stuff, right? Do people deserve do 50% or more people deserve to get flawless wins in PvP?
In trials, you mean?
In trials.
They don't deserve anything.
They don't deserve anything. You have to earn it. And that's the exact same thing. I don't think that the time requirement or the prime engrams requirement or whatever impacts whether or not you should be able to get in the raid at all. If it's possible, it's possible. It's up to Bungie to decide how hard that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And feel they skewed too far one way.
Yeah, and you feel they skewed too far one way. And
it affected me directly.
Yeah, but I feel like it affects me directly too. It affects all of us directly. Maybe.
Yeah. Right?
But like, I think that the point is, I think what people are latching onto is that they feel like I sense some entitlement on the part of the people who feel like it was too hard. Like, I don't feel like Bungie owes
the hours
anyone.
Are too hard, though, or the raid, just to be clear. You mean
the time investment? Too hard and I kind of clarify.
Yeah,
that's what I want to be clear on.
Yeah, but it's I kind of clarified. In my mind, they're kind of a similar issue.
Yeah, because the raid gets easier the more time you spend doing it.
First
the
time, 30 hours.
Yes.
Second time, 2.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, you just don't. Yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone deserves to get in the raid. They don't deserve to get.
Yeah, it's not that. It's just the hours. Trials win. Like, let's say Bungie knew to a T it required an average of 70 hours of playtime. That's 7 hours per day over 10 days. I'm saying launching an activity that it's very, very exclusive. And there's a lot of people that work very hard and have families. And
sure,
other
sure.
That you exclude
they
them.
They do it week two, though.
And so, so just the last note, like, I played Wrath
how
of
it should be?
The Machine, and I got to participate in that, and I took a day off, and I played a lot. I'm not saying Wrath was quite the right balance, but it was a lot closer to what I would say. Like, we were all on that last encounter for a long time on Axis. Like, I forget if it was, I forget what the time was, but quite a while, but the winning team, I also think 19 hours might be a bit extreme too.
I just think that the raid on day one should be a race between the best of the best players in the whole world.
An esports event.
Yeah, like it should be extraordinarily.
That's why I like it.
Yeah, if you want to, you should. If you want to be a competitor on day one, you got to be esports pro level ready.
And again, I agree with that.
There's just no excuses. Like, if I want to go compete at, I was going to say CPL, but that dates me. I guess let's call it IEM or a major in CS. Yeah. Like, I'm going to have to put in 10,000 hours and play with the best players in the world to compete. Yeah. End of story. If it's too hard, if I can't go win a major after only putting in 100 or 200 hours, like, that's not the
dev's
fault.
It's a little
fault.
Different because you're talking about skill levels more than hours.
But
anybody
it's the same thing. We just kind of established that, like, if the more and more you play Destiny, the better and better you get, generally, right? Like, it's a little different.
The crux of the issue, to speak a little bit for the other side of the argument, though, is that time investment didn't matter because it was tied to an RNG drop. And I think that's
not entirely.
There's some caveats there.
There's no right or wrong, by the way. I mean, I hope that comes across as much as I'm whining.
No.
Like, you're not wrong, Destin. I'm left out, and it's going to be very challenging. It had been challenging the rest of the weekend as the team got splintered and had to move on. I had one day, and I would have been happy to fail at Riven. You know, I'd be more than happy if everybody failed, right? It was too
hard.
Two
people did it.
Guess what? Yeah. Surprise, MFers. And that would have been a fun experience, right? Maybe I only made the fourth of the guard, but I'm like, wow, this is serious. But no, it kind of netted out that if you did invest 100 hours especially, you were in the race. Those are the people that really made it.
Only two people beat it the first day in the first 24 hours.
Yeah.
And then it expanded past
two
that.
More
and by – and by yeah.
Give him
some
credit.
2402.
2402. That's so
good.
Awesome.
It's off.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Awesome. And he shouldn't get the emblem, by the way. They should basically give him some lore thing in the game.
I know. Yeah. I don't think he'd take it.
I don't think he would either. But that's why that is awesome. They put in the work.
I love that. I mean, to me, it just reminds me of old school, like – hardcore raiding RPGs. Like, I was a top tier raider in World of Warcraft back when it came out. Here's your second World of Warcraft reference. But when those raids came out, many, many groups would spend a whole month on one encounter. Mm-hmm. And not even an end encounter. A whole month just preparing and raiding for one encounter.
Yeah.
And then whenever one encounter got beaten and a group got one step further in the raid than anyone else, there's like 11 bosses in those raids. It was a huge event. And you were keeping track meticulously of all these different groups on it. And then whoever made it to World Verse, it was truly you're the best raiding yeah. team in the world.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. It should be like that. And I don't think that more than 1% or 2% of the whole player base deserves to get to that point, especially because it's not as if the raid isn't open after that weekend.
Yes.
There's more opportunities. It'll be there next week and the week after.
There's three of us and one Fran. Do you have something you want to say?
Well, yeah. I mean, just to challenge that thought, Sean. So don't you think it's more competitive if it's more inclusive? Like, they had to compete against fewer people.
But it's not as if if opening the player base makes it more competitive. Including lower tier players and just having more people stuck at the first encounter isn't more competitive.
But that's my point, is that I think Clan Redeem would have won anyway, right? So you could have included more people in that. And by the way, it's not about the race. It's just about experiencing the raid and having fun. I like to do it blind. It's something that actually a lot of players don't do. And I think that's where I'm really I've been playing Zelda and Metroids and everything since I was young, and I don't like using guides, and I really I'll sit somewhere forever, and in the raids too, like, it's tough. Everyone in Destiny likes to be the smartest player in the room.
Yeah.
It just makes it hard. And
I like
man,
to be the best.
It sucks. You know, I'm now, and that's where I'm at. I hope that I come out on the other side.
Classic.
That CJ and I can team up on our schedule because we're at the same spot.
Maybe Sean as well too.
But
actually,
be at a space where I'm not sitting with people on the sideline that are pretending like they didn't watch a video.
Yes.
Because I already had to do that on Encounter 3, and it's painful. It sucks.
There is something to be said about that. There are some people who agree with you. I am on the side of Destin and Sean where this is from the guy with the family. I like the competition. So if I didn't have a wife and children, I probably would have sat there and grinded it out 24 hours like everybody else. Mm-hmm. I was not able to and had some obligations, but I still like it. I like that that exists. And I think it was cool to watch those guys. Mr. Infinity actually was kind of on the same line. He posted in the comments. No one can now experience it blind because with YouTube, it makes it harder to do it when you watch streamers and raids. No, I know, but I mean, there's some validity
because more people watch it,
right?
It doesn't make it impossible.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
I mean, so that's like, that is a real thing that people are commenting on, right? And then Ryan Barker.
You can make a pact.
Yeah, and it seems like that's what you have to do. Well, no, you have to kind of say, like, I think you have to, like, there's some self-evaluation there to go, hey, based on my life, based on the fact that, you know, I'm married with kids or how many times I'll be able to raid during what hours, are you going to actually make a point of actually not doing it day one? Like, I think, friend, you and I
– a point.
I know, but
I made a point to spend 50 hours, and I'm bummed. That's all this is about.
Yeah, I know, but think about it.
You were in the 30s, though, right?
What? 532,
On day one.
On day
like
one,
that's where Teddy
that's
was.
That's like pretty
Teddy
close.
Your whole team was – my team as a whole was lower.
But that's different because you
they
had Click.
We had several 530s.
Yeah. Well, no. You have Click and other people who are really like amped to do it. And so basically when
Delta skill.
When we did Taken King, I think we actually as a pack did it together. And then it was one of those things. Yeah, we did it over a couple days. We were not doing World First.
Yeah, that was different then. Yeah, well, I couldn't. I've never been – that's the point.
I know.
I've built up a long time that I've been able to – by the way, I've waited 2 years to take a day off work to do the raid.
That sucks.
Although, I did Leviathan. I take that back. I just can't
remember.
We all
did Leviathan.
I guess I did.
We all did that wipe thing on Leviathan.
Yeah.
There was a bug.
So wait, I guess it was a year. But anyway, it's just very hard to plan that and the grinding out. I mean, I did spend 50 hours. It's just that, and that was the side of it I know we kind of glanced over. It's hard to communicate RNG expectation.
Yeah.
But I was basing it on previous games, you know. I didn't think it was going to be easy, but it just strikes me there's some irony to recommending a light level that nobody has.
Like it incentivizes the grind though for the for the long.
And again, if I could just get in the raid and matchmake with people who hadn't done it, I'd be very happy. I'd be I'm not worried.
I feel like Bungie did exactly what everyone wanted them to do.
Yeah, I do too.
Put out an event that everyone wants to get to.
Yeah.
That is valuable to the players who want to get to it, and then requires a good amount of time and investment so that it takes a while to get there.
They always say nobody plays their raids anyway.
And then is incentivized properly, right? Like, isn't that the trifecta of what everyone wants from a Destiny activity? And then when Bungie does it, people get on their case about it. It makes no sense.
Well, kind of, but I guess maybe that's the other side of it is in Destiny, since you're part of it. What was the downside of if they launched it this week? That it would be too easy for
everybody?
You played for 30 hours.
I'd be like 560, 70.
It'd be too easy.
But without any of your knowledge, do you really think it would have been too easy?
It'd be too easy for that top tier team. Yeah, the top tier people. Yeah, for sure. The
fact everybody be Max Light. And
yeah,
like,
the fact that it took 24 hours of just like good rage.
My entire experience.
I think that's awesome.
My entire experience, they were all swords. At one point, I think they were skulls. At no point did I have it easy. Yeah. And that's why I take real issue with people like, oh, you Prime Engram farmed, which nobody on our team did.
Yeah.
Or I had special advantage because I work at IGN or something. No. I had an excellent team that stuck with me for 31 hours. That's why we were able to do it. And that's an experience that I want other people to have. And I'm trying to be encouraging to those people who like couldn't do it. I'm like, you're going to get there. You might have to wait.
Yeah, but there should be a challenge.
But you're going to be able to do it.
Yeah. If you I'm not worried about completing the raids, completing a blind. And you play with people that I play with. They want to play with the guy at IGN that's going to be raiding. So there are those factors.
So the question
did have some advantages on that sense. But like, again, it's just putting together a team. You work at IGN. Of course, there's some advantage there. But anyone can go to LFG, like you said, and do what you did. I do agree with that. That it's BS if the hours played by your entire team, you know, you add up and you did the same thing with LFG, like maybe just because you had a community, it was a little easier. But I do agree. Anybody could have done it if they tried.
Everybody in this room had that advantage.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying you work at IGN though and have a really strong community already.
Yeah.
But for the people out there who are like, I don't even know who to talk to, I do agree. A month ahead of time, whatever, you could have done it. Mm-hmm. So I take no issue with that.
So let me ask everybody this. Do you think for the next one, people are actually going to take the time to prep adequately? Because for me, all it was is we were communicating as a team throughout the entire grind. We were careful about our drops, extremely careful. We made sure, like, when we heard about the offering that affected you not dropping, we made extra sure. And that affected two people on my team, one of which ended up being the highest light level person on our team who still got affected by two of those drops, not falling.
I thought you were the highest.
Yeah. No, Timothus was.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so, like, all that stuff happened, and we were just meticulous, and we planned. Some of us could only run one, like Teddy. I think Illegal ran two. Mm-hmm. I ran three because I had the time to dedicate to it. It's like if I came into the office, I would do whatever I had to at the office, and I would go home and I would grind until like 3 a.m.
Yeah, yeah.
Rinse and repeat.
Yep. You know? Yeah, we all grind.
And everybody saw me. I was a zombie.
Yeah.
I was a zombie. I lost weight. I was exhausted. It was
– love of the game.
The weight's back. Don't worry. but it took – it was a lot. And it was
It was an incredible testament. That's what I'm saying, though. Mm-hmm. The requirement to get there is super high.
But how rewarding is it, though?
I've never felt anything that amazing in my gaming experience.
So that's it. And we haven't even talked about the quality of the raid, and we won't get into that really because that's a whole different thing. But did you actually enjoy the raid? Like, did you like it in comparison to previous raids?
Yes. Yeah, quite a bit. And like
what I've played,
and that probably adds to it. Like that feeling that you had, because same thing with Leviathan. I did it with Steven, and we, placed, I think, 64th or something like that in the top 60s.
Yeah.
And when you have that moment of working together as a team and doing that, and then you're also stacking yourself up against other real people who are competing, that adds and enhances, I think, the experience in a way that is hard to actually articulate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody else want to have any final comments about the raid? There are some comments that you copied, CJ, but I think we've kind of gone over everything.
Yeah. Ryan Barker mentioned he thinks that, mid game progression should be based off of, it shouldn't be time gated. So I think that was some of the things that people were having concerns about. Like, because I can only get so many prime engrams per day, and then I can only do this or get so many, power engrams to level up. That kind of sucks, because if you were able to invest more hours to just get to a higher light level, then so be it. But you couldn't. You had to do it in a certain strategic way per day.
I mean, you could have grinded out Gambit. You could have grinded out PvP, and you get a power engram drop every time you level up there. You could reset. Yeah.
No, I actually personally like right now everything that they've done within the context of prime engrams, daily, power engrams.
Dailies, the weeklies, the higher level weeklies.
There's tons
to
do.
There's a reason to sign on every day.
Yeah, there's a reason to sign on every day. There's a bunch of really good stuff, and there's a bunch of discovery stuff. And Sean and I were talking about that last week. There is this sense of, am I doing this right? Am I min-maxing my time, the engrams, figuring out what this does, how to do it? And friend, I think, the challenge is if you did not want to be spoiled on some of the things in the Dreaming City, you would not have done everything super efficiently because you do want to take the game in. And there, I mean, I've played like that the last couple weeks as well. Like the Dreaming City is awesome.
Yeah.
Like someone just told me that I shouldn't be doing the weekly Power Engram stuff on the Dreaming City until I've completed all the other stuff.
Yes.
That week. I just found that
out. That's only up to a certain light level, I think, too. So it's.
But yeah, so that's the thing is I just found that out yesterday and that's kind of a revelation to me, which is.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, right? Yeah. Because one, I'm okay with not being a world first competitor, but if I was, the problem I have is that it seems like people don't want to have to put in the required time, strategy, decision making, and have the skill level, but still want to be able to compete for world first. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Time, but not the strategy. They don't want to min-max on it, or like they're not thinking. Yeah. I won't say they don't want to do it, but I'll say like they're not considering other things that need to be taken into account. We had to masterwork a lot of our gear. Yeah. We had to make sure it was on restorative and armor as opposed to mobility. We had to masterwork that armor. Like there's a ton of like resources we also had to invest into
and,
our gear.
And my point is, yes, some of it is tied to – that whole process is tied to different things, right? There's a time investment. There's a skill investment. There's obviously like a strategy and a decision-making process there that's at work. And I feel like no matter what argument I look for, and I'm just paraphrasing here, the raid being too hard or being inaccessible to the majority of players goes back to one core argument of those things. It's either you're not putting in the time or you don't have the skill or you have a problem with the RNG or you didn't, you know, one of these things. It reads all as entitlement to me.
I think you need both. Yeah, that's where I hope, you know, don't be confused. You need both. It is the requirement. You need the skill and the time.
Mm-hmm. And the strategy.
I had some of the skill.
And the team.
Right? Yeah. I don't have the skill that Clan Redeem had and possibly not even the strength that Destin's team had because I know.
Really, it was fortitude.
Yeah, but still, like masterworking stuff, all that.
What's it called where you just don't
perseverance.
Give up? Perseverance.
Yes. But no, fortitude as well. But my point is, I think you do need both, and I would never argue with that. It was the requirement of time.
Yeah.
That made it real rough.
Just give a shout out to Teddy, Charge, his brother, Illegal, McCadley, Timothus. Thank you guys so much for raiding with me. It's seriously.
Yeah, congrats, man.
Yeah, really awesome experience. And regardless about the arguments surrounding entry to the raid, it's
real quick, I want to.
And all the teams, the other top 100, you know, whoever they are, I would say. Mm-hmm. Seriously, none of this takes away from that, and I wouldn't want any of that to be confused. It's the way you might want to play, but like you said, Destin, the people that did it, it's incredible the amount of like perseverance they had. Like literally these teams talk about almost breaking mentally because it's so intense.
The way it should be. Real quick, CJ, there's something here from Mr. Infinity that says, the raid experience is dead, and I'm kind of done with this game because of how betrayed I feel. CJ... You know in your heart it's true, and I hope you bring it up next week. So, CJ, the raid, dead.
Not dead.
Over.
Not dead. No, not dead at all. And that's what's crazy.
Do you feel betrayed?
Yeah, no, I don't. I picked some of the people who agreed with Fran and then some who agreed with me. I think we can probably wrap this one up by saying Sir Creepsalot does sum it up nicely. The hardest part of the raid, getting a fire team together.
The most important part. One of having them. A fire team.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it's very true. Right. Yeah.
There's more players you could do that. But anyway.
So there are a few other things going on. We're probably going to have to get to them next week. What else did we have here? There's a new mode coming to PvP. Sorry, I have to run the shows here. Crucible Labs is getting a breakthrough mode, just so everybody knows. That's coming September 25th. New maps are being added. Equinox, Firebase Echo, The Citadel, Gambler's Rune on PS4.
PlayStation 4.
Yeah, and Convergence is today. That is in Iron Banner. Iron Banner is really good.
It's really good.
Iron Banner's fun.
Did you play the new map, actually?
I haven't gotten
Pantheon?
It.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it does. I've only got it into rotation a couple times too.
Is that the one that's called Convergence?
Yeah, it's basically a remake of Pantheon.
We played it a little bit last night. There's some small changes to the sizes of hallways and stuff and a little bit of the layout. It's actually kind of a nice balance change.
Yeah.
You pointed out some stuff about the art, but.
Well, it's funny because I've said this in the past. Like, there's just something about, like, Destiny 1's lighting style and its engine. It always feels a little bit more moody. Like, everything in Destiny 2 feels a little bit more bright and flat, and it's not a bad thing, but as an aesthetic quality, when you see remakes is when I really notice them. When you see Burnout and Distant Shore, they just look a little less I don't know what the way is. Everything just looks dry. Destiny 2. Versus in Destiny 1, everything kind of looks like, you know, sparkly. Yeah.
It's weird because you pushed a PC though, and so, you know, there's that softer anti-aliasing look and some techniques they used, frankly, to hide worse textures, but, but it didn't look bad.
No,
you know, you are
it doesn't look bad.
But I mean, the PC stuff looks amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it is different on it's PC, crazy. But I've only been playing on PC for 2 weeks, so.
The more I see go from PC and look back at console, and I hate sounding elitist, but it's really annoying that they didn't make it 60 on console.
Yeah.
Well, supposedly,
or at least the PvP.
I've read some comments that on launch consoles these days, PS4 and launch Xbox, that the game doesn't run so well.
It struggles in the menus. Yeah, and like because you think about even all the vault space and everything else like that, they probably have expanded it over time. They're pushing.
I mean, that's a real bummer. I think this is a problem that we're going to see more and more of with AAA games across console generations that are iterative.
Yeah.
Because I still have a launch Xbox, and even, you know, I started playing on PC about 8 months ago at this point. But before that, even during Mayhem matches and stuff where there was a lot of visual simulation because supers are going off all over the place, I would notice significant frame drops. And that's in a mode where you can't be having frame drops, you know?
Yeah.
That's a bummer for players.
Yeah. Two other small things. Free Gambit this weekend, and it's Double Valor weekend. So if you don't have Forsaken, you can check out Gambit again for free this weekend.
It's free real estate.
Double Valor weekend this weekend. So if you want to level up your PvP or PvE stuff, work towards
power,
your goals there, you get power drops also in PvP. Gambit every three, in PvP every rank.
Yep. And you said you haven't played Iron Banner yet?
No, I played Iron Banner. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good. I just want to talk about that real quickly. The
power enable.
Yeah, and the bounty system as well, too, just in the fact that, again, they've addressed a lot of our complaints. You know, before you'd cash in, 1,000 tokens, maybe potentially never get the legs. Now you can basically see each of the bounties has the gear that you unlock, and some of them are harder than others. One is, 100 orbs generated. That's probably going to be That's the hardest one.
But overall, work weapons.
That's really good. Everything that we've kind of had a conversation about on this show in the past 6 months, at least within the context of even Iron Banner, have addressed it, and I actually enjoy it. Yeah, and it feels really good.
Yeah, now we have to find new stuff to complain about. Thanks.
I'll
find something.
It'll happen.
I also like that aside from a few weapons, I see a lot of Right Side of Wrong out there, and obviously Ace of Spades, but there's a lot of variety in the weapons.
Yes.
I notice
really
a lot
good.
Of different people
not
using a lot of different weapons.
There it is.
Edge Transit.
Nerf it.
The
nerve
I can't wait.
Oh, which roll did you get with your edge?
Can we talk about how terrible grenade launchers are right now, especially considering
play of the game?
But other than that,
I have a low level play of the game that I want to use more. But on numerous occasions, I have shot two or three grenades into a group of guardians, and they just miss by a hair, bounce off the floor, go flying into the air, and explode up there, doing no damage to anyone.
And
they're
like, "Well, I'm dead."
It's gotten to the point where I don't really go for heavy ever anymore.
Yeah,
but we're kind of terrible.
We're over on time, but there is one thing I want to
bring up
before
we
go. Raid related. After the raid was completed, they added a cutscene to one of the areas, and I thought that was a really, really cool way. They always said become legend in Destiny, and to me, this is like, oh, there's this legend of six guardians that went in and cleared it for the first time.
Yeah.
I really like that. It also unlocked a strike, the Corrupted, which expanded on the lore and the story.
Beautiful strike.
And it unlocked a Gambit map, Cathedral of Scars. I like that these in-game completions unlock new things for the player base. And I like the evolution of the Dreaming City, how there's a new enemy faction there and Petra moves and she's like – adding to the story of what's going on there. I think we're going to see more and more in that area.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that stuff is super cool. What's really funny, though, was after you ran your poll, there was a lot of discussion sort of around how the Dreaming City changed as a result of people completing the raid. And a good amount of people did not like that that it was changed. They thought that sucked, which I thought was really interesting.
They didn't like that the city became taken?
They didn't like that there was this new brand new cutscene, a new quest, a new strike now available that hadn't been because one team had completed the raid when they hadn't.
They
felt excluded, which I thought was really interesting. Because to me, it's the opposite.
I did feel the same way. I mean, it's funny that a week later I thought I was over it. You know, I'm like, forget it. I got a lot going on. I didn't know I was going to – sorry for yelling the whole time. I really relate to it. It's still really bumming me out, and so I can at least relate to that. I saw that cutscene too, and I thought the mechanic was awesome, but it sucked at Call It Overnight. I wanted to be part of that group that was like, yeah, man, I spent 20 hours in the raid and was part of this. So I'm not part of it
I wasn't yet.
But again,
I saw the cutscene before we had
cool. Cool mechanic though.
So yeah, you really wanted cool. it. You wanted that cutscene to be not maybe global to the game, but individual.
No. It
you.
Should be. It was just the again inclusiveness. I thought I was going to be one of those people that took that shot the first day. And let's say even Phil at Riven, like I said, I'd feel a little closer to being part of it. But I looked at that and I was like.
Oh man!
Part of me didn't even want to do the strike yet. I'm like, should I wait to beat the raid? And then I'm like, I guess not. I don't know. And so,
and there's story elements in the raid. Like, I'm just really happy with Forsaken,
Jude. It's weird. It's weird how opposite I feel. Like, and it's not that it's a good or bad. Like, I was again watching from the outside as well too. But the fact that I kind of saw it happen, I was jealous that I wasn't there able to do it. Like I said, I had some family obligations, but. I think it's crazy that those things are in the world, and I'm super excited for the next time.
I'm of the mindset that they should have doubled down on that. Like, I thought that wouldn't it have been cool as if the cutscene named the players?
So that, that would have been great.
That they are legends.
Yeah, they were like, just like in the painting or the sketch.
Yeah, cool. Like that would have been super cool because for those players and people who aspire to be that, that's like even a greater reward.
Be awesome.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And no one deserves that.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you on that.
You got to put in the time.
That's kind of everything I want to talk about on this episode. We glossed over a lot of stuff. We have a lot more to talk about on the next one. But Fran, I do have to say thank you for coming on the show and being a representative for the people who feel the same way that you do, who feel sort of left out and everything. Yeah. Because if it was a one-sided show, that doesn't make for interesting content. And the reason I structure this show this way, the goal has always been to make sure that the community is represented by somebody. And you see it in the comments, oh, I hate Destin or I hate this person this week. And it's because we all represent a different thing and maybe the audience doesn't realize that, but that's purposeful.
Exactly. Yeah, no.
It's almost like there are producers on this show.
I feel like, unfortunately, those aren't the folks that watch till the end, but yes, you guys ate me alive on the show. I knew that would happen. And yes, the comments are going to eat me alive, but I do feel passionate
but
and true about it. And again, there's no right or wrong. That's what I try to focus on in any of these discussions we ever have. I'm like, it's not about right or wrong. I'm like, let's just recognize each other's feelings. I recognize how awesome it feels to be number 63.
Yeah, and I don't want you to feel bad about where you're at with the raid. It sucks that
I hope you guys do. I genuinely do feel. I used to be on Bungie's team, on the Fire team, and I played for it. I really feel left off the team, and that's why. I feel like you feel part of it still, CJ. I don't. I felt like I missed this amazing – and Destiny's never been better, so it makes it worse. Right. Well, that's where I'm coming from.
Well, what light level are you right now?
543.
Okay, because
– yeah, now I'm fine.
My group is starting it tomorrow. We're all going in blind, all of us. So if you need a player or if you need a team
–
may work. We'll see.
Yeah, and then I'm in the same boat. I do want to say, too – rarely do we get a chance to actually just talk about the people behind the game. Brandon Thorne, actually, I think it was Fran, you mentioned it, tweeted out just like
all the people.
Yeah, Last Wish was brought to you by. So go look at his Twitter because it's crazy. Yeah, like raid testers, designers, pref testers, combat designers, investment designers, sandbox designers, world artists, effects, character artists, lighting artists, writers, audio localization, marketing, community, and caffeine. It's cool. That's
so much coffee that week.
Exactly. That's a part of it. I think that, again, on Fireteam Chat, we do try to understand that there are people behind the scenes making the game. And the way that you see us talking about it when we don't agree, there's probably a studio of how many – I don't know how big Bungie is. But imagine designing this one thing. People are going to play. It's going to sit as like a legacy to their game. And it's out in the wild now. To have so many minds, creative people behind it actually deciding to create this single product that we experience, I do think it's still mind-boggling. And, you know, the amount of stuff that could go wrong with the game, and when it happens, we make a big deal about it. Oh, your Prime Engram's dropping and everything else like that. The amount of stuff that they've done right is really mind-boggling. Like, it's incredible. So
definitely.
It was a pretty intense raid.
It's 9.0.
Halfway there.
The Destin Legarry.
I really like Forsaken. That's not just about the raid. That's about the entire content experience right now. It is fantastic. Even if you don't buy Forsaken and you're just playing base Destiny, you actually can get Forsaken drops.
Yeah.
Like Forsaken gear. It's kind of crazy how much they improve the product.
It's really good.
So, yeah. Thank you, everybody, for being on the show. That's all we have for this time.
Are we all ready?
Are we? I was going to do it.
I know.
All right. So until next time, everybody,
Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.